We, the jury, find the defendant Scotty Scott guilty of murder in the first degree. And fix his punishment at a term of 25 years in the penitentiary.
Ooh, we're beginning with something that's quite emotional this week, Randy Dixon, with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History.
That's right. We go back to the 80s for a crime story this week, and it involves, well, let's just go back. It's November of 1981. It's in Little Rock, and a convenience store clerk is murdered in the process of a robbery. A couple of days later, an Arkansas State Police trooper's son, 22-year-old Scotty Scott, was arrested and charged with the murder and the robbery. It was a big news story, of course, the crime and the following hearings and trials. And so it received a lot of coverage. And the story itself turned into a saga, I guess you'd say, which lasted the full decade of the 80s. I probably went through 50 or 60 news stories.
Wow.
To compile all this from the KATV archives. And, well, let's just start off with the beginning. This was Scotty Scott's first court appearance, his arraignment, and the reporter is Tanya Bean.
22-year-old Scotty Scott of Hensley was to be arraigned at 8:30 this morning, but at his father's request, Municipal Judge Alan DeShawn passed the case until Scott's attorney could get there. He was apparently tied up in proceedings in Chancery Court. Scott was arrested Saturday afternoon at his home by detectives, based on information they received from a woman who arrived at the Magic Market and Gulf Service Station on Scott Hamilton, apparently just moments after the store's manager was shot to death. Betty Thornton, a 45-year-old woman, was shot twice in the abdomen and once in the shoulder with a small-caliber pistol Friday afternoon. A woman told police she saw a silver and blue sports car leaving the scene and that she found Miss Thornton face down behind the counter. Police say the cash drawer had been emptied. Police arrested Scott on the woman's description of the car and the man driving it. Scott has been charged with capital felony murder and aggravated robbery.
What is the plea to the charge of capital felony murder?
He's not guilty, Your Honor.
What is the plea to the charge of aggravated robbery?
Not guilty.
The state intends to seek the death penalty on the murder charge, so Judge DeShawn did not set bond, but Scott will be held at least until the trial date can be set in circuit court. Tanya Bean, New Scene 7.
All right, that's the arraignment. There was a first trial, correct?
Right, that ended in a hung jury. So it was a mistrial, but he was tried again in May of 83. So 2 years later, he's back in court. And, well, here's the verdict from KATV's Randy Weber.
The decision Scotty Scott had waited so long for was not the decision he had hoped to hear. After deliberating since 11:30 yesterday, the jury decided Scott was guilty of first-degree murder and aggravated robbery.
The jury verdicts are as follows. We, the jury, find the defendant Scotty Scott guilty of murder in the first degree. And fix his punishment at a term of 25 years in the penitentiary. Signed, Geneva Proctor Foreman.
An emotional scene followed inside and outside the courtroom as friends and relatives of Scott Webb. His attorney, Jack Holt Jr., later told reporters he thought the jury was hung, which is what happened the first time Scott's case was tried.
I'm really surprised, too, that a jury was out this long and came back with a verdict of guilty. I thought at the most it would perhaps be a what we call a hung jury.
Holt said he would appeal the case for his client. Judge Lober Hendricks set the appeal bond for Scott at $50,000. Holt said his client would be able to make bond. Randy Weber, New Scene 7.
So guilty, looking at a long prison sentence.
Yes, 25 years. And, you know, they could have been the death penalty. Mm-hmm. That's what they were originally seeking, the prosecution. But it's not over. Far from over. Let's enter Henry Lee Lucas, which you probably know that name.
He was a mass murderer, serial killer, who
yes.
kind of
Maybe one of the most notorious.
Prolific, yeah. And would.
This century.
Didn't know any of the victims that
of that century, yeah.
He would kill. I mean, yeah.
Well, he confessed, you know, once he was on death row in Texas, he ended up confessing to hundreds.
Right.
Of other murders, and the Scotty Scott case was one of them. Here's KATV's Philip Bruce with the background on Lucas and just kind of brings us up to date.
Henry Lee Lucas spent most of his life drifting from one town to another, and in a killing spree that spanned several states and 20 years, he claims to have murdered more than 150 people, all strangers in crimes that often had no motive. On two different occasions, Lucas reportedly confessed to the murder of Betty Thornton, a Little Rock convenience store clerk shot to death 3 years ago. 23-year-old Scotty Scott has already been convicted of that crime, but Scott's attorney, John Wesley Hall, believes Lucas's confession is basis for a new trial.
Henry Lee Lucas confessed to the crime twice, once in November and then again in January. And the January confession was on videotape taken by the Little Rock police. And Lucas describes the killing in such detail that he had to have been there and done it because he even identified the victim from a photograph, I hear.
But the man who prosecuted Scott remains unconvinced by the so-called new evidence. Chris Piazza says Lucas was 1,000 miles away when Mrs. Thornton was killed.
We came to an absolute conclusion through documents that Mr. Lucas was in Florida on this day.
All right, the challenge, if I recall, with the Henry Lee Lucas confessions is legally there were challenges just because somebody on death row, who we know is horrible and has committed many murders, but he's confessing to so many, it was hard to prove his confessions. And many
That's
of
true.
These confessions involved people who had been convicted or were charged.
In this case,
yeah.
Yes, Scotty Scott. And, you know, a lot of them were dismissed. I think he had confessed at one point and they ignored it, the Texas officials, and he did again. So there are some questions as to the validity of his claims. And I thought this was fairly unusual, but Judge Lober Hendricks, who had presided over the case where Scott was found guilty, actually talked to KATV, and here's what he had to say about Lucas and his confession.
Lucas obviously has a warped mind, and apparently he's trying to, quote, take credit for as many murders as he can. It's not difficult for him or anyone else to find out specifics of any particular crime. They can be supplied to him by someone, and certainly I'm not suggesting that someone has. I'm suggesting that someone can.
His new attorney, John Wesley Hall, actually went down to Texas with a private investigator and interviewed Henry Lee Lucas, got his confession on videotape, and he shared that videotape with KATV's Deborah Mathis. This is kind of a long report, but it really lays out all of the details and addresses a lot of the criticisms of Lucas's claims, and it's chilling to hear Lucas describe.
Right. We'll hear Henry Lee Lucas here.
Yes.
All right. And this is, as you mentioned, it's a longer than usual cut that we have, but in its entirety here.
Accompanying the petition was this videotaped interview with Lucas conducted 2 weeks ago by defense attorney John Hall and private investigator Gene Nobles. From the Williamstown County Jail in Georgetown, Texas, Lucas matter-of-factly confesses to the 1981 murder of convenience store clerk Betty Thornton.
She had fell backwards in the floor.
Where'd you shoot her? What's the part of the body?
Well, I shot to hit her in the head, but was
the counter between the two of you?
Yeah. I don't know exactly whether it hit her in the head or not.
Was she bending over when you shot her?
Well, sort of, yeah, because she was trying to put the money in some kind of a box down there.
Scotty Scott has maintained his innocence, though he admits that he was at the store around the time of the shooting. He says to make a phone call.
As I was going out, there was some colored guy walking towards the store. And when I went around the corner to get in the car, there was somebody on the telephone. I told them, they brought some pictures down, and I tried to pick the guy out. looked like the guy that was on the phone. Sort of long-haired guy. Had your back to you, though?
Lucas says he voluntarily told Little Rock police and prosecutors about his involvement in the crime last November and insists he was unaware of Scott's conviction and had no knowledge of publicity in the case.
And I've even told him, I said, you go back and you bring me a bunch of pictures of different service stations.
Mm-hmm.
Every detail, you know, different places and all.
Okay.
And I'll point out the one that I done.
Well, did they not show you a series of videotapes of different stations?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. I told them which station it was.
Didn't pick out this one, did you? Yeah.
Picked out the one it was.
Did they, at that time, I can't recall, that's the reason why I'm asking, did they confirm that that was the station that the killing occurred in? When they showed you the videotape and you said this is the one, did they?
I don't think you did. They pointed out, they said, well, show us where the girl was, describe mm-hmm. where the girl was, what she looked like, and stuff like that, which I did. And told them what she had shot with.
Okay. But in other words, just to make sure that I understand those two points that people, in essence, without you realizing it, they made two accusations against you. One, that you were just trying to grab more glory for yourself, and you stated that's not true.
Yeah.
Okay, and the second one is that it was kind of twofold. They said either someone unconsciously has told Henry about the details, or he's read about it in the news.
I haven't read about it. I haven't seen it on television. I haven't known nothing about it except just what I told them.
All right, first of all, it's incredibly chilling to hear Henry Lee Lucas.
Yes.
But for our purposes here, what we're remembering, what we're recounting this week for the Pryor Center Profile, this isn't over.
No.
It takes another weird turn.
Yes. As he did with many of his other confessions, Henry Lee Lucas recanted. And so...
But we have this interview on
right.
videotape.
Right.
Yeah.
So that brought up enough... questions that they did allow a hearing in front of Judge Annabelle Clinton for a new trial. And here's what Annabelle Clinton ruled.
This court is of the opinion that a different verdict might have resulted if the Lucas testimony had been introduced at the trial of Scotty Scott. Therefore, the petition for writ of error coram nobis will be granted and a new trial date will be set by mail. The court at this time declines to comment on specific evidence because to do so would be improper and inappropriate pending a new trial.
Okay, so yet another trial.
And Deborah Mathis was able to catch Scotty Scott out in the hallway, and this was the only interview I know of with him.
Look, I know you've been nervous till now. It must feel good,
still
though,
nervous.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, what did you expect to happen?
I didn't know.
How did you feel when she said, I mean, you knew what she was going to say just seconds before she actually
no, I didn't.
Said it's granted, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
And it was
not
just all
all
a surprise to you?
All a surprise.
All right, so the first trial was in 81.
Yes,
second,
mistrial.
Mistrial, right. Second trial. The
83.
Now, when's the third trial?
Well, it doesn't come along until 89 because Scotty Scott was having some major health problems. I'm not sure exactly what they were, but it was preventing him to go on trial.
He's about 30 by now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in going through the video, you could tell a difference in his appearance. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure... what ailment he was suffering, but it did alter his appearance. So now we have this new trial in 89. Now, the linchpin evidence for the state was eyewitness testimony from a gentleman by the name of Otis Grundy.
Okay.
He was a customer who came in to the convenience store and said he was greeted at the counter by a white male. Of course, the actual clerk was a female.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the man's money for gas. And he's the one who identified Scotty Scott as the person that he saw there in the convenience store. So here's a report from Tara Bloom on this next trial.
For the fifth time in 8 years, Otis Grundy testified in court about his encounter with defendant Scotty Scott at a Little Rock gas station in November 1981. Grundy's testimony is crucial in proving Scott's guilt. Around the time convenience store clerk Betty Thornton was shot to death, Grundy arrived at the store to buy gas.
When I first pulled into the service station, he was standing behind the counter, and then from behind the counter, and so I went over to the pumps, and then from there, when I was getting ready to walk in to pay for gas, he met me at the door.
Grundy later identified Scott as the man at the store through a police lineup and police photos. Scott's attorney, John Wesley Hall, attempted to chip away at Grundy's reliability as an eyewitness. A psychology professor, who is an expert in eyewitness testimony, took the stand for the defense. He told jurors many factors, including the way police question an eyewitness, could affect or change the memory of that eyewitness and make it unreliable. Scott's father also took the stand, saying his son has always proclaimed innocence.
I looked him out straight in the eye. I said, "Son, did you ever go into that store?" He looked me right back and he said, "Dad, I never lied to you in my life, and I'm not lying now. I've never been in that store in my life. I know it, and God knows it."
To further cloud the state's case, jurors learned from investigators that Scott was one of four suspects in Thornton's death. One of those suspects was a business associate of Thornton who disappeared after her murder and has never been located by police for questioning. Tara Bloom, Channel 7 News.
Okay, but this no longer new attorney, but the second attorney, John Wesley Hall,
yes,
brings something up.
Well, This took quite a turn, and Otis Grundy said that he stood and looked eye to eye with the man behind the counter and gave him his money. Well, Wesley Hall pointed out that there was a 9-inch platform behind the counter, and he pointed out that Otis Grundy and Scotty Scott are the same height.
So 9 inches.
He would be 9 inches taller than the witness, and so he couldn't have looked eye to eye with him, and it completely caused that, you know, evidence, eyewitness testimony to really fall apart.
Because 9 inches is a significant amount of height difference.
Yes.
You can't
look
at something eye to eye if it's 9 inches higher.
Yeah. So, bottom line, on May 12, 1989, Scotty Scott was found not guilty of all charges and was a free man.
Wow.
Now, I don't have that to play for you.
You don't have the report?
The actual verdict. So, I go through 50 or 60 stories, and I'm gathering all these reports and interviews, and I get to the very last one, which is the verdict of not guilty, and the tape is missing. The edit master
really
tape. And, you know, that could have happened 20 years ago. You
just
out of 26,000 tapes, one or two or a few dozen are going to get lost.
Sure.
And this was one of the ones.
Wow.
I know. So that's one flaw with, and
sure,
it's the human error
factor
of an archive. But
well, what do we know? Okay, so Henry Lee Lucas was executed in Texas.
Yes.
He had confessed, then recanted. Scotty Scott, we now know, was innocent.
I tried to find him. I don't know where he is, and considering he was having serious health problems in 89. I don't know.
But has the case ever been solved?
No.
To your knowledge, yeah.
No. And John Wesley Hall was in court all week, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. And I talked to Chris Piazza, the original prosecutor. Well, he's retired as a judge, and that's the last thing he probably wants to do in his retirement is have to pull files and go through old cases. But It was an interesting decade in Arkansas crime news.
Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.